Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
All right, it is an 8-year contract extension for one Kurt Cignetti with the Indiana Hoosiers on the new agreement. And the compensation is approximately $11.6 million a year. The new contract runs through November 30th of 2033. Let's talk about this news and a whole lot of other news going around college football. And oh, yeah, by the way, we got some pretty good games this weekend. Shayon Jayaraja does a great job covering college football for CBS Sports, and he joins us right now. Shayon, appreciate the time. Thanks so much for doing this. How you been?
I've been good. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, let's start off with the Cignetti news. You could officially cross him off for Penn State or any other job because he's staying with Indiana. I think this is a good day for college football. It shows you in this NIL era that if you have success at a smaller school, it doesn't mean that the guy's just going to run necessarily for the bigger program. And obviously, it feels as if, right, Kurt Cignetti, who's an Indiana legend, is going to end his coaching career there with the Hoosiers.
No, and he said it in his statement, right? I want to retire an Indiana Hoosier, which I don't know if any football coach has frankly ever said that before. So pretty cool to see. It does say a lot about the changing landscape of college football. We're kind of used to this idea of tradition, maybe recruiting grounds being the primary things that motivate coaches. Well, it's one of many now. Indiana, at least at this moment, is the losingest major program in the history of college football. But what they do have is they have an invested fan base and they have deep pockets. My colleague Richard Johnson did some reporting over at CBS Sports a couple weeks ago, and you know, Mark Cuban is getting involved. There are other big time money people who have realized, hey, if we want to be a part of the future of college athletics, we're going to have to be a part of the future of college football specifically. So I think a great recognition by them that things needed to change. Cignetti made a lot of asks of them before he even took the job from James Madison. And you're seeing a program and a coaching staff that's really become realized in 2025.
If he wasn't 64, let's say he was 44, do you think this is happening? Do you think he's staying in Indiana?
It's an interesting question, right? Because I think that, like you said, I mean, let's say that he has 6 years coaching left, right?
No.
He might have more, who knows? But like, do you really want to spend two or three setting up your next thing? You know, probably not, right? That's probably not what you want to be doing at Penn State. So I think that it definitely is part of the equation that's the case. But I think also, it's funny, I've gotten the chance to talk to coaches who are former high school coaches, coaches who are former small college coaches. And I do think that there is a recognition for some guys who have come from that level that when I have something good, let me try to maximize it instead of necessarily just job hopping from place to place to place for half level steps up, right? And I think that this is more about what Indiana can accomplish as a football program versus Penn State than necessarily, hey, you know what, I'm just not going to take the big brand. So it's a factor, I think. I think that you have more leeway to, I guess you could say, make a mistake and have a second life when you're younger than when you're older. Obviously, a coach I'm sure we're going to talk about that we have some connections to, Matt Rhule, right? Like, he obviously knows I have this chance in my mid-40s to go to the NFL because I can have a second life in college football if it doesn't work out. But I do think that also he understands what he has right now. It's a different thing. I'm not going to make a direct comparison, But Dan Lanning, right? Dan Lanning could have had the opportunity to go to Alabama or wherever else, and he stayed at Oregon because he knows what he has. So it's definitely a factor. I don't think it's the biggest factor.
If you had to take your best educated guess, and I know it's very early in the process, who do you think ends up getting the Penn State job if you had to take one guess right now?
I mean, the obvious answer that seems to make sense is Matt Rhule, right? Obviously, a former Penn State player in the 1990s, somebody who is from the Northeast, who loves State College, met his wife in State College, has a lot of love for that program, has never been shy about it. They got a game scheduled when Temple was there, right? They played at Penn State. That was a huge day for him. And, like, so he's never been shy about the fact that he would love this opportunity. Now, I think that Nebraska can do things potentially to keep him. He kind of challenged them in a lot of ways to say, hey, if let's try to get to national championship level investment instead of just very good level investment. And, you know, we'll kind of see whether Nebraska is able to rise to that occasion. I think he would be very happy to stay where he is, but also I think he'd be very happy to be at Penn State. I expect them to take some swings, right? Like, we've heard some conversation that they might try to go after Marcus Freeman. I don't think that they'd be able to get him, though. You know, again, do you have a situation with one of the coaches who maybe is in a tough situation, like a Brian Kelly at LSU, to potentially come in here and change things up? He's also a coach with ties to the Northeast. So it's a really interesting, tough job to try to evaluate. I would not be shocked to see a total out of left field hire necessarily. But the reality of the situation is also this. I don't think that you pay $50 million, and again, there's offsets. They're not going to actually have to pay $50 million.
Sure.
But you don't pay $50 million to make your extremely successful coach go away unless you're willing to go out there and try to make a swing.
If not Matt Rhule, I know you threw out a few names there. Let's say Matt Rhule follows the Cignetti path and he's going to stay at Nebraska just like Cignetti stayed at Indiana. Where's the name then that you go to? Because you're right, everyone's going to throw out Matt Rhule like they have been.
No, and for good reason. You know, another one that's really interesting to me, and I'd be curious if it, because we haven't really seen necessarily what this coach's deal would be outside of this program. I really think that Matt Campbell would be a fantastic hire at Penn State. And like Matt Rhule, I mean, I think sometimes people throw out the top level record or all this sort of stuff and kind of like try to devalue what he's done through that. But like, I need people to understand how bad Iowa State is as a program. They are one of the worst programs in the history of college football. They've never won anything. Even now, again, he's done a fantastic job there. They have not won a conference title since 1912. Until last year, they had never won 10 games in program history. And he's done everything except for win that conference title game, which, again, it's Iowa State. I think you give him some grace for that. But he has done it through development. I think that when you look at some of the issues that that James Franklin had at Penn State, it was quarterback play, it was receiver development, running back development. Well, with guys who are not elite-level talents, Matt Campbell has done an incredible job of putting that type of guy into the NFL. Brock Purdy, Breece Hall. Just this year, they had two players drafted by the Houston Texans, Jaden Higgins and Jalen Knoll. So, like, that's, I think, something that you would be adding to the equation. I think that this is the sort of job that feels like it fits him in a lot of ways, where, again, you're not necessarily looking for let's sign the number three recruiting class and flip this roster in a year. I think that he would want to do a longer term process. And again, how acceptable is that to Penn State fans? It's certainly part of the equation, but he wants to build something lasting as well. And I think that this is a place that maybe he thinks he could do it.
Yeah, my only question about Matt Campbell, who I agree with almost everything you said. The guy is such a damn good coach. In 2021, this still bugs me. He was asked a question in his press conference, and it was in regards to the expectation was to win the Big 12, and you didn't. And then he said, that was never my expectation. Those words never came out of my mouth. And it was something along the lines of, we just want to be the best together team that we could be this year, and we could still accomplish that. That's not going to fly at Penn State when they just got rid of James Franklin. They're trying to win a national championship. Shayon Jayaraja, that's my, I just had the same conversation with my update anchor, Ack, and he goes, Matt Campbell, that should be the guy. And I had the same conversation. That fit, he's a good football coach, but I wonder how he handles the expectation of having to go to a spot where he's expected to win a national championship.
No, and I do think that there is something to that, right? Not necessarily. I think that he would be able to relatively handle expectations, but I do think that the piece of it is, like, he's never had outside expectations to that level, right? That's one of the reasons that Iowa State is kind of a dream situation for him. Is he comes in there, he delivers every year. It's literally impossible that they would ever fire him. Like, you get a level of long-term possibility and planning at Iowa State that you will not get at Penn State. You will be judged on deliverables at a certain point. And I think that's a totally fair point to bring up. Now, if you want to go a little bit more of the sort of like talker, I guess you could say, right? I mean, another name that's been linked a little bit is Eli Drinkwitz from Missouri, who I think has done a really good job. And it's funny, I was having this conversation with somebody in the industry the other day. It's like, I think that the way that he's positioned at Missouri, where he's winning and all this sort of stuff, yes, but he's also like Missouri knows they're a black sheep in the SEC. And I think that he, more than any other coach before him at Missouri, embraces that and is like, yeah, here, look at little old us crashing the party sort of thing. And while Penn State is obviously not Missouri, it's also not Ohio State.
Yeah.
And I think that there is a place for that at Penn State that might be embraced. And with all these coaches, you know, with Rule, with Campbell, with Eli Drinkwitz, you know, one thing that I've heard from people in the day since, and I have a friend, not a college football person at all, who lives in State College, who was like, why is everybody cursing the football coach at church right now? You know, something that I've heard from people is that, you know, James Franklin, from all I've heard, is like a really good guy, takes care of his people, but isn't like a very forward-facing personality in the community, right? He's not somebody who's doing the politician thing, I guess you could say, essentially. I think that all three of the guys that I mentioned would do that at a very high level. And I think at a place like Central PA specifically, where you're basically your own like region of the country to a certain extent, I think that you need somebody who embraces those expectations. Joe Paterno did that, right? Like, he was everywhere. He was accessible. People saw him. People knew him. And I think that that's a big part of this job being maximized. You never want to, you know, besmirch what was a great effort. But, like, you wonder if James Franklin did that stuff. Maybe he's still the coach there right now.
Shayon J. Araja here with us from CBS Sports. When the Florida job opens up, which could be as soon as this weekend from some of the reporting by USA Today, and they say goodbye to Billy Napier, who do you think the realistic candidates are there? I don't think Lane Kiffin's going. I would love Eli Drinkwitz there. I would also love him at Penn State. Who are some names maybe that could be the name that Florida takes a swing for? James Franklin even?
I mean, I think that there would be a lot of stuff that would make sense about that. And I do think he's a top candidate on the market right now in terms of guys without a job. It'll be interesting to watch what he does. I still think that ultimately the land thing is going to happen. Maybe I'll be wrong. You know, there's been some push there from the athletic director, from some other people who think that, one, he's not a serious enough person, and two, he may have a ceiling on him, I guess, let's say, right? I think that both of those criticisms at this point are just a little garbage. Like, I just don't think that you, as where you're at with Florida, have the right, frankly, to make such kind of nitpicky judgments, I guess, of candidates. And again, like, he is winning 10 games a year at Ole Miss. And I think that we've forgotten, because, you know, Hugh Freeze had his little run of success there, but like, this is not a program that's all that easy to win at. I think he's been ahead of the curve when it comes to NIL. I think he's been ahead of the curve when it's come to transfer portal. I think he's done a good job of recruiting. I think he could do an even better job of recruiting if he's at a bigger time school. So I think it's just something that makes a lot of sense to me. But also, again, you know, Auburn came after him and he said no. So it's just going to be an interesting situation where he makes that kind of decision. Now, let's take Lane off the table for a second. Eli Drinkwitz, like you said, I think makes a lot of sense. You know, I think that it's going to be interesting to see whether Jed Fish becomes part of the conversation. The Washington coach, it's been a little bit of an inconsistent run in 2 years at Washington, but he's a former Florida student assistant. Actually, if I remember right, the story with Jed Fish at Florida was that he literally left a sticky note on Steve Spurrier's car every day asking for a job. So, like, he loves Florida. He'd love the opportunity to be back there. And you look at his time at Arizona, he did a tremendous job. So I think that he is somebody that they should very legitimately consider, you know. But again, I think that if you move past the Lane level of candidate, it starts to become really interesting in a lot of directions you can go. I do think, though, I would be surprised if they hire another non-power coach, fair or not, frankly, because I think that everybody's going to be like, we don't want to do that all over again.
So a Sumrall or Golish would be off the table with some of those names getting leaked out there as well, or people thinking they could be a possibility. Let me ask you about another name here, two other names. And I'm just curious, right? We start the conversation, Cignetti doesn't leave Indiana for Penn State. You know, will Matt Rule leave Nebraska for Penn State? What about Brent Key at Georgia Tech, and what about Kenny Dillingham at Arizona State? What are the possibilities they jump ship to a Florida or to a Penn State this offseason?
That's a good question, and you know, I think that both of them are really interesting. Obviously, both have strong ties to their respective programs. Kenny Dillingham, you know, an Arizona lifer, an Arizona State alum, all this sort of stuff. And also has won at a very high level at Arizona State. So I think that it's going to be an interesting conversation about whether Arizona State steps to the table to make sure that he's taken care of and kept. But I think that there is a level to which they could get to where they could make that happen. I think that they can be a power in this new Big 12. Georgia Tech's a little more interesting. I don't know the level of resource there, relatively speaking, compared to some of these other programs, the level of investment they're willing to put in. But I think that there's also a question, and I'm curious how athletic directors look at this. I think there's also a question just to a certain extent about like, okay, well, how transferable is what they're doing here to a high level job, right? I think that, for example, if you think about an Arkansas, for example, and having this really strict kind of identity, I think that's one thing. But I think that to me, and maybe athletic directors view it differently, I've almost viewed Brent Key not obviously as an option coach, but where he's a zag to what the rest of his conference is doing. Does that work the same way if you're one of the big boys and one, teams are preparing for you, and two, you're not just trying to zag, you're trying to be the zig, right? Like, you're trying to be the team that defines what everybody else is doing. So it's an interesting question. I'm curious how ADs look at him, but there's no question. I mean, they're top 15 in the country right now. He's done a tremendous job there.
Let me just get you on a few quick hitters, then we'll get you out of here, Shayon J. Araja. Just predictions for this weekend. Ole Miss, Georgia. How do you break down this one?
Yeah, fascinating, fascinating game. I think this Georgia defense has some problems, and the offense has been pretty inconsistent. I mean, they should have lost to Auburn, frankly, last weekend. And Ole Miss, they had a down game last weekend, but through the first couple of weeks, they've looked really, really good, especially on offense. I think that their quarterback, Trinidad Chambliss, makes enough plays to pull the upsets.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Tennessee, Alabama, is Tennessee going to have another moment against the Crimson Tide?
No, and it comes down to this. Tennessee's a little beaten up in the secondary, and I think this is a really, really bad team to be beaten up in the secondary against. Ty Simpson is playing at a very high level.
How about USC, Notre Dame? Who's going to really make the playoff push after this one?
This one is a great game, and I don't think that I expected it coming into the year, but I do think that Notre Dame's defense has started to come along in the last couple of weeks. I think they're just going to do just enough to push USC and come out with a victory.
I know you love the Big 12. It's trending in the direction that we are going to see Sam Levitt playing. This game should be phenomenal. Texas Tech, Arizona State.
Huge, huge one. I mean, I said coming into the year, there are basically three true tests on Texas Tech's schedule. This is the second of them after Utah. But I've been a little concerned about what I've seen from Arizona State's offensive line through the first couple of weeks. I think that Texas Tech, if they can take advantage of that unit, are going to be able to pull away. So I think that Texas Tech gets it done.
LSU Vanderbilt, what decides it?
Oh man, yeah, it's going to be whether LSU can run the ball at all. But, you know, Vanderbilt's had some issues against the run, against some of the more elite teams in college football. So I think they're going to be able to do just enough to get it over the finish line. Give me LSU.
And then last one that I'll ask you, this goes back to the coaching carousel. So take Florida off the table. It seems inevitable that it's going to open up. We know Penn State has opened up. What's another job that you think could open that is one of those bigger jobs, maybe in an SEC or a Big Ten or in another Power Four conference?
Yeah, give me Auburn. Give me Auburn. I think that that Hugh Freeze has, I just don't think, really done a very good job. I think their team just continues to find ways to lose week after week. And I think that at a certain point, all these whiffs at quarterback come down to the guy picking the quarterback. So I kind of mentioned it on our podcast last week. His last year at Auburn, he was 5-7 and 2-6 in conference play. Outside of those two awesome seasons that they had, they were like 8-21 overall in conference play. And ultimately, I just don't think he's done anything meaningful to try to elevate this program.
John Sumrall, I don't know why. That just feels like he's going to be the next Auburn coach to me.
The two places that I think make sense, either Auburn or if Lane Kiffin takes Florida, I think Ole Miss makes a lot of sense too.
He's Shehan Jeyaraja from CBS Sports. Appreciate the time as always, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me.
There you go. Shehan Jeyaraja does a great job covering college football for CBS. What a comprehensive breakdown that we just got. We'll come on back. We'll do this QB or that QB after these short messages.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
There's search and inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Alrighty, let's start it off a little this QB or that QB. That is the question. We'll go NFL and college quarterback matchups. Who would you prefer for this weekend and this weekend only? We want to go NFL or college football, you guys decide, and then I'll answer the questions.
We'll go NFL first.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to start with, we're looking at the Jets, my Jets, and the Carolina Panthers. I know this doesn't sound great on paper, but let's look at Bryce Young and Justin Fields, who was terrible last week. But it hasn't been that bad throughout this year.
What is up with you Jets fans? And like all you guys, do you all drink the same potion? Oh, it hasn't been that bad this year. Outside of the Steelers game, what's the game that he's really played well in? And you'll give me all the stats. He had 225 passing yards. It's a bunch of garbage time bull word I can't say on the radio. Oh, my God. You and Pat Boyle, Samter. You guys try to make it out like Justin Fields is a Joe Montana with the way that he plays. Guy was, what, 9-17 last week? I know you said, oh, but it wasn't just last week. He went up against a bad Cowboys defense. The game was over by halftime. They lost to the Dolphins. They got crushed by Buffalo, and he got hurt in the game. Like, what are we doing? The guy's been so great. He's 29th in passing yards right now and 28th in passing touchdowns. But he's been incredible. And he's 29th in QBR. Well, what are we doing here? So you asked me Bryce Young or Justin Fields? Easy. Bryce Young. I'm going Bryce Young over Justin Fields. Next one.
Boo. All right, let's go.
I'm right.
Let's go.
You can boo all you want. Jet fans, you guys boo about a lot. You never write about anything.
That's not true. I'm right about some things.
With the Jets?
I mean, sometimes.
With the Jets.
On Thursdays.
You're right with some other things. Not when it comes to the Jets.
All right. I'll allow it. Let's look at Matthew Stafford and Trevor Lawrence.
I didn't like what I saw from the Rams last week, even in a 17-3 win up against the Ravens. It just wasn't all that impressive. The Rams have lost some games that they should have won this year. But Trevor Lawrence, I know their record indicates they're a good football team. I just still don't know if this guy is any good. There's some games you watch Trevor Lawrence play and you go, man, this was supposed to be the number one overall pick that they were that they were getting. There's other weeks where it's like, not so good. So I'm gonna go with Matthew Stafford here. I just think he's obviously a better quarterback with winning the Super Bowl and what he's been able to do. But there's just a greater level of consistency for him, even though I don't like the way that the Rams' offense has looked this year.
All right, let's go to the Dolphins and Browns. Tua versus Dylan Gabriel.
Oy. So you got Tua where the whole locker room hates his guts right now. And can I defend Tua for a second?
No.
Here's this guy getting to the podium. And he gets to the podium and he goes, oh, we're trying to have player-only meetings and guys aren't showing up or they're late. So it's bad leadership by Tua because then guys don't respect your voice. And also people don't want to hear that from you when you threw three interceptions in a game. But I think his sentiment is right. His sentiment is, I want guys at these player meetings on time, but everyone's been slamming him where he had to basically get emasculated yesterday and walk with his tail in between his legs and apologize. Or Dylan Gabriel, who had a good game 2 weeks ago, and then last week up against the Steelers, the Browns offense was just terrible. He had 52 passing attempts last week, Dylan Gabriel? 52. He only had 221 yards. Man, can I take Orr here? I guess I'll go with Tua Tagovailoa.
All right, Orr is actually having a pretty decent season.
Yeah.
Let's look at two young ascending quarterbacks, Jackson Dart and Bo Nix.
For this week and this week only, I'm not saying the Giants are going to win the game, but I'd rather take Jackson Dart. I think Jackson Dart, with what he did up against Philly, that's a guy that the only way the Giants can win is because of the life of Jackson Dart. The Broncos can win in spite of Bo Nix. Bo Nix is a very good quarterback. We saw what he did last year. Bo Nix is having a fine start to the season. But as we saw last week, they don't need Bo Nix to be great in order to win. They just need that defense to play the way that they do. And that defense is as good to stop any offense in the NFL.
All right, we're going with the midseason MVP, Daniel Jones or Justin Herbert.
Isn't that a weird statement to say?
It is very weird to say.
I'm going to take Daniel Jones. Now you're going to say, wow.
Wow.
Just what does Justin Herbert have around him right now? Hey, he has Ladd McConkey. Let me tell you about that Ladd McConkey, man. They got Keenan Allen, but they can't run the football right now because all their running backs are hurt. So I'm going to say it's Daniel Jones. I just think he's in a better situation right now with Jonathan Taylor and Tyler Warren and Michael Pittman. Now, like you look at the Chargers, I'm curious because they came on back. They had that back and forth game with the Dolphins. Okay. Vital last week at 124 yards rushing. You know, I thought Haskins would get more carry, but he ended up. So they did run the football with him, but you're missing your two best running backs. Yeah, I'm still going to take Daniel Jones. I just think he's playing at a higher rate right now, even though Justin Herbert is having a damn good season too. But I'll take Daniel Jones for this week and this week only.
All right, this I think is one of the better matchups. You got Jaden Daniels and Dak, who, whatever you want to say about the Cowboys, Dak is balling right now.
He is, but Jaden Daniels gets to go up against the Cowboys defense. I'm actually doing that game for Compass Media Networks, so make sure you tune in. Cheap plug. We'll have Ted Emmerich and Steve Berline and Zach Gelb. Going to be a great national call for Dallas Cowboys football. That Cowboys defense got problems, though, so that's why I go with Jaden Daniels. But Dak's having an unbelievable season.
I mean, according to Jerry Jones, they have the best pass rush that they've ever had there.
Yeah, I'm going to be nice to Jerry on that one.
Why?
I'm just going to be nice on that one. I'm going to disagree with that statement. I'm going to politely disagree with that statement.
Well, we just had Larry Fitzgerald on the show, so how about Kyler Murray or Jordan Love?
If Kyler Murray plays, I'm going to still say Jordan Love. I'll take the Packers quarterback over. Kyler Murray just doesn't do it for me. I'm not saying Jordan Love is great. I know Jordan Love is good. Kyler Murray, he's fine. He's not worth the money he gets paid. Like, Stu, for example, let's just say your girlfriend. Gotta throw one out there. Let's just say your girlfriend puts on a new dress. And she goes, Stu, what do you think of the dress? What's your answer?
Definitely not fine.
Right? Fine's the worst thing you can say.
Don't say fine. That's not bad. That's not good.
You got to say, oh, honey.
Looks great. I like it.
You look beautiful. Yep. You look gorgeous. If Stu says, it's fine, you're getting smacked across the face. Getting smacked. popped right in the mouth, and our twin's going to come over and smack you in the mouth, too. Fine, I've been told it's not a good word. And when I say Kyler Murray is a fine quarterback, that's like, all right, it's all right. Doesn't really do much for me. So I'll go Jordan Love.
All right, this is an interesting one, too. We don't know for sure Brock Purdy will play, but let's say Michael Penix versus Purdy or even Mac Jones.
I'm going to go with the big Penix energy. I'm going to go with Michael Penix Jr. on that one. I just don't know how healthy Brock Purdy will be coming off the injury. And also, even if it is Mac Jones, he's been banged up too. So I'll just take the healthier quarterback right now, who I don't know how much I believe in Michael Penix Jr., but as of late, he's playing better football.
All right, that's it for the NFL as we move into the college game.
Ooh, new music for college. Why? We go a little change up there, Stu?
You know, mix it
NFL
up.
NFL music for college doesn't make as much sense.
Yeah, gotcha. That's good job there by Stu. Stu locked in on a Thursday.
Stu is always locked in, man. Let's go start with my guys. Sam Levin, Arizona State, or Baron Morton, and the number 7 Texas Tech Red Raiders.
Now, both of these quarterbacks are hurt. They're both now expected to play.
Yeah, Levitt is now listed as probable.
And Levitt's missed the last week, right?
Just 1 week, and they got crushed by Utah.
And Baron Morton just suffered his injury. So I'm going to take the quarterback that, I guess, didn't get hurt more recently. I think Texas Tech is going to win the game, but I'll take, just for the quarterback matchup, Sam Levitt, because it's a walking wounded between those two, and he got hurt a little while ago.
Maybe my favorite matchup of the weekend, Garrett Nussmeier and Diego Pavia.
The better defense is LSU. The better quarterback is Diego Pavia by far. Nussmeier has been a disaster this year with the LSU Tigers.
All right, let's look at Duke with Darian Mensa versus Haynes King and the undefeated Georgia Tech.
I like Darian Mensa a lot. And he has almost 2,000 passing yards, 15 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. Statistically, he is a better quarterback than Haynes King. But Haynes King, he just has that it factor. His stats may not always be the best, but he'll do whatever it takes to run through a brick wall to get the victory. I will take Haynes King here in this spot. And Duke earlier in the season, I remember betting on them. There was a 2.5-point spread. I think it was the same week, Baylor was also 2.5-point spread, and I plus the points with Baylor, and I plus the points with Duke. And Duke, just they were close in the game early, and then they got annihilated. Let me just pull up their schedule real quickly, because I'm curious what Darian Mensa did right there. Of course, when you do Duke's schedule, it takes you right to basketball. But here we go, their schedule. Oh, it was the game up against Illinois. They lost 45-19. Now, Mensa in the game, he was 23-34, 334 yards. A lot of passing yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Haynes King in this one.
All right. How about John Mateer, assuming he's a little bit healthier than last week, or Lenore Sellers with South Carolina?
Yeah, I've been down on South Carolina. I'm going to go Mateer. I am. You know what? I'm actually going to go Sellers. Here's why. I'm going to change that. I wanted to go Mateer because I said, oh, you would think he'd be healthier this week. He looked really banged up last week, and I don't know how he's going to be able to throw the football. At least I know, and Lenore Sellers is a good arm, but at least I know he could run too. So I will trust the more athletic quarterback here in Sellers with Mateer maybe being damaged goods.
All right, let's look at Trinidad Chambliss, who is rolling, or Gunnar Stockton with Georgia.
I didn't know this. I know my Temple Owls are having a respectable season at 3-3. They should have beat Navy last week. I didn't know they basically almost had Trinidad Chambliss going there. And he ended up trusting Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss. I'm going with Trinidad Chambliss here. I like Gunnar Stockton a lot, but I just haven't been impressed with that offense at Georgia this year, and I do like Ole Miss to win this game. I think Ole Miss will win the game, and I believe Trinidad Chambliss playing unbelievable football right now, so I'll take him.
All right, let's look at Joey Aguilar and the Vols or Ty Simpson and Bama.
It was almost criminal that Joey Aguilar lost that game up against Georgia. Right now, Ty Simpson's playing some of the best football in the country. The throws he made on that touchdown drive late last week up against Mizzou, that 4th-and-8 throw, disgustingly good. 4th-and-3, I think it was, a touchdown. Ty Simpson, who I said before the season, don't be surprised at the end of the season if he's in New York winning the Heisman Trophy. He's definitely going to be a finalist at this rate with the way that he's playing right now.
All right, we're looking at another big matchup for Stu's Notre Dame Fighting Irish, CJ Carr, or USC's Jaden Mayava.
I'm still trying to figure out what USC is. Like, Notre Dame, I know we all killed them in the beginning of the season, And they haven't really played all that impressive schools since, but they did lose close games to A&M and Miami, who are two top five, top six teams in the country. For USC, all right, they beat three cupcakes to start the year. Then they beat Michigan State, so maybe four cupcakes. Then they lost to Illinois, and they beat Michigan, who's not anything special this year. And I have some questions now about Jerome Moore. These are two huge next games for Notre Dame. I mean, for USC, because they go up against Notre Dame and Nebraska. Mayava's really damn good, but I just think CJ Carr is better. So I'm going to take Carr in this one.
All right, let's stay in the SEC with most of our other games. We've got Missouri's Bo Perbula or Auburn's Jackson Arnold.
Yeah, Jackson Arnold really is not. He almost looks like he should be playing for LSU with the way that offense is non-existent at times. I'm going to go Bo Perbula, the better overall quarterback. I just think Bo Perbula is more of a gamer. I know he threw a bad interception last week up against Alabama that cost him the game, but I just think he's the better quarterback right now.
All right, last one. Two quarterbacks we really haven't talked much about, but it's a huge Utah matchup between the Utah Utes and BYU Cougars. We got Devin Dampier for the Utes and Bear Bachmeyer for BYU.
And Bachmeyer's doing a really good job as a freshman. Devin Dampier, though, he's putting up some monster numbers. So I will take the Utah quarterback, even though I'll probably pick BYU to win the football game. But I like Devin Dampier, the quarterback at Utah. All righty, that's this QB or that QB for this week only. We will take a timeout when we come on back. We have a few college football teams that are off to good starts. How are we going to be talking about them at the end of the season? We'll give you that answer on the other side. Update time first. Here's Zach. Alrighty, this portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com, not available in all states. So let's go around the room here, and we'll go through schools that are having a really good start in college football, but maybe there's still some questions about them. And you wonder how we're going to be talking about them at the end of the season. We'll give three picks each. Stu, give me your first team.
Okay, my first team is Miami. Now, they've gone off to an amazing start. They're one of the best teams in the country. They had that big win against Notre Dame, a nice win against South Florida, and the win against Florida State at the time looked like a big win. And you look at the rest of their schedule now, I know Miami in previous years have kind of crumbled after good starts, but you got Louisville, Stanford, SMU, Syracuse, NC State, Virginia Tech and Pitt. None of those really stand out as a, you know, huge, tough matchup. So if they can finish 12-0 and run the table, that's interesting to me.
All righty. Sam, to give me your first one.
I'm going to go with Texas Tech. I mean, it's a team that they're ranked number 7 now. I hope they lose this weekend to ASU. But let's say they were to win. Like, this is a team, there's so much money for that program that with the right coach and with the right backing in an NIL era, that is a program in the Big 12 that could dominate the Big 12 the way Texas used to with the right amount of money and everything. So I'm really curious to see how we talk about Texas Tech long term.
Yeah, or even how Oklahoma used to as well. That's who I'll go with, actually, Oklahoma. I look at Oklahoma. They were getting praised the first few weeks of the season. I predicted them to lose last week in Red River. They did. When you start off the season 5-0, and I know that Michigan isn't Michigan and Auburn isn't Auburn, but you got those victories. You got to go make a college football playoff. And you dropped that game last week to Texas. The rest of the way, you have South Carolina, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Alabama, Missouri, LSU. I see two more losses on there. And can you make the college football playoff with three losses and also the different criteria now in the SEC? Yes. But once you get the three losses, that's when you're playing with fire. So I'm curious that we're talking about Oklahoma at the end of the year. Stu, team number two.
Okay, my second team is Texas A&M. Now, unlike my first team in Miami, I think A&M's schedule the rest of the way is at least a little more challenging. They have at Arkansas this week, which they should win. But after that, they go to LSU, they go to Missouri, home against South Carolina, home against Samford, and then at Texas.
Stanford or Samford? Which one?
Samford.
Yeah.
Sam.
But here's the thing, though. I look at A&M's schedule. If they're undefeated at the end of the season, I wouldn't be shocked by it. Like, they should beat Arkansas. LSU's offense, I expect and trust a lot more out of A&M's offense with the two wide receivers, Le'Veon Moss, if he's healthy, than Marcel Reed. Missouri is a good team, but not a great team. South Carolina's having a down season. Samford. And then Texas, I don't know what Arch is going to be. So, like, it's not crazy to say that they could actually be undefeated at the end of the regular season. Samter? Or Samford?
I'm going to go with Ole Miss with Lane Kiffin. It's a matter of, A, is Lane Kiffin still at Ole Miss? And can Lane Kiffin win a title, make a run at a title at Ole Miss? Right now, they're one of the top-ranked SEC teams, but no one's really talking about them. Everyone's talking about A&M. Everyone's talking about Georgia. Everyone's talking about Bama. Everyone's talking about Tennessee. Not a lot of people are really expecting a lot outside of you for sure, but the national conversation isn't about Ole Miss. So I'm curious to see what he can actually do in the postseason.
Well, I think that they got to make the playoff first. They never made the playoff. So they got to make the playoff first. And they beat LSU, but it just wasn't a thrilling game. People are talking about two things with Ole Miss. The quarterback story with Trinidad Chambliss, and then is Lane Kiffin going to be there? But this is a spot, and they beat Georgia last year, where Dart didn't even play well. That was a defensive story. This is a spot where you get your national praise if you beat Georgia this weekend. My next team's going to be LSU. Everyone was praising Brian Kelly and the Tiger family after week one, when they showed that they are the school that really has death. When they showed I'm always unexpected when Stu has those drops. They always get me to laugh. Even though that game was at Clemson, but they beat the Clemson Tigers. But Clemson stinks right now. After that, all right, you beat Louisiana Tech, you beat Florida, Southeast Louisiana. Like, let me go have a snooze fest here for a second. You lost to Ole Miss, and then you beat a down South Carolina team. The next few weeks, LSU, if they really want to show me that they could be a big boy this year, go win two out of your next three. You play Vanderbilt, you play A&M, and then you're at Alabama. Go win two out of those next three, and I'll be impressed. But I'm curious how we're talking about LSU at the end of the season. All righty, what do we got next, Stu?
All right, my final team is Nebraska. Now, they've gone off to a very nice 5-1 start here. They had that one loss, the three-point loss to Michigan. Going forward, obviously, they have the Matt Rhule kind of future over their head to see what happens with him. But, I mean, the games aren't crazy. They have at Minnesota, home against Northwestern, home against USC, which could be a big one, at UCLA, at Penn State. Who knows what they're going to look like at the end of the season, and then Iowa to finish off their season.
If they beat the teams they're expected to be, I'm curious what the conversation is. Like, if I tell you they beat Minnesota on Friday, they beat Northwestern, they then lose to USC, they beat UCLA, they beat Penn State, and they beat Iowa. Is a two-loss Nebraska getting in the college football playoff? I think it's an interesting conversation. I think they will, but you then look at the strength of victory. Who did you really beat? Like, you lost to Michigan. You would then have lost to USC. So I don't think if you're a two-loss team in the Big Ten, you won't be in the college football playoff. But I do wonder, with the criteria of strength of schedule, how is that going to impact when we evaluate the resume of Nebraska? If Nebraska is sitting at the end of the season and they're 10-2, but they lost to USC and Michigan. But I would imagine that a two-loss Nebraska would absolutely make the college football playoff. I also think Will Compton's head would explode if Nebraska has two losses and they aren't in the college football playoff. Samter, who's your last pick?
Last pick, I'm going Georgia Tech. I'm very curious. They're undefeated. They're 6-0. Haynes King is a beast. That's a team that, you know, the ACC feels wide open. Clemson has been down. Miami's great, but how much faith do we really have that Miami has really put it together, or if this is just kind of a blip in the radar? They've been good, but I just don't know how much I trust them. So Georgia Tech has an opportunity to like make some waves in the ACC. I'm just curious to see if what they're doing right now is just kind of like a cool little story, or if Georgia Tech has staying power.
Now, it is interesting. Both those teams are undefeated, Miami and Georgia Tech. In the AP poll, Miami is 2, Georgia Tech is 12. And then Virginia's having a very surprise season, being 18th in the country. But those are the only teams in the top 25 out of the ACC. My final school here, I'm going with Georgia. And now people will be like, oh, Zach, come on, Georgia. I don't even know if Georgia's going to make the college football playoff. I really don't. Like, if you put a gun to my head, yeah, Georgia's vulnerable last year. They made the college football playoff. Then they lost to Notre Dame coming off that bye, and they won the SEC championship. They should have lost to Tennessee, came back. God bless them, they won the game. They then lost to Alabama. They play Ole Miss this weekend. Now, after that, the schedule's not brutal. You play Florida, you play Mississippi State, you have Texas. I still don't know what to expect out of Texas. You play Charlotte, and then a good game at the end of the season up against Georgia Tech. We all remember that thriller last year. I think it was in 7 overtimes. If you tell me Georgia has 2 more losses, would that be crazy? I don't think so. And Georgia's supposed to be that team that was that next dynasty, that next Alabama. They haven't won the national championship in the last two seasons. And do I think they're going to win the national championship this year? No, I do not. All righty, tonight you do have the Steelers and the Bengals in Cincinnati. Here was the poll question from today. I will give you the final calculations on this. What is a successful season for the Steelers this year? One playoff win, make the AFC title game, make the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl. One playoff win, wins it at 59.6%. Make the AFC title game is in second at 27.9%. Win the Super Bowl is 8.7%. And make the Super Bowl is in at 3.8%. Stewie, Samter, thanks so much. Ack, big thanks to you as well. Big thanks to Larry Fitzgerald for joining us. Jayon Jayaraja. And most importantly, a big thanks to each and every one of you for listening to the program, however you do consume it. We'll be back on a Football Friday tomorrow. I am Zach Gelb. We out. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening. Peace.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.